Dr. Chiron Kim is a multi-instrumentalist, most notably a harpist and a pianist. She's also a composer and is one of the few people in the world to solo on two instruments for her own compositions while conducting. Dr. Kim, welcome back to FM 91.
Hi, Mr. Creswell. It's such a joy to be here. Thank you again for having me.
You've got some important dates this year. Your appearance with the National Philharmonic of Venezuela was as both pianist and harpist with the orchestra, and introduced your new arrangement of the work Rendezvous. Can you tell us about your experience bringing your music to Venezuelan audiences?
Venezuela was absolutely amazing. The way the audience responded was unforgettable. 8 curtain calls and 2 encores. I chose to end with Amazing Grace, which is a special piece for me. And some people told me afterward that it brought them to tears. Even during rehearsals, the orchestra members would come up to me to share how much they loved music. From start to finish, everyone was so warm, kind, and respectful. I felt incredibly honored to play for such a heartfelt and welcoming audience.
You're also appearing in Estonia for your European premiere. Is it the same program?
In Venezuela, I premiered Rendezvous with harp and orchestra in the first half and wrapped up with Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2. The Estonia performance has a similar lineup, but with a twist. I'll be performing Rendezvous again, but this time I'll also be conducting it while playing the harp. Then I'll switch roles and conduct Rachmaninoff's Concerto No. 2 with another solo pianist. Plus, I'll be conducting a few other soloists in different concertos. So it's the same core program, but expanded and a little more challenging, which I love.
You're a multi-talented musician. Have you done this sort of concert in the past?
Yes, I have performed on both harp and piano during the same concert in the past. In 2014 and again in 2018, I appeared as a pianist performing Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2 and then joined the orchestra as the harpist immediately afterward. In 2014, just 2 weeks apart, I performed as a soloist on both instruments, playing Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2 and Debussy's Danse Secrète et Danse Profane. However, 2025 marks the first time I've taken on the role of soloist for both harp and piano in a single performance on the stage. It's a new artistic direction that excites me greatly, and I plan to continue exploring this dual instrument format in future concerts.
What led you to become a conductor?
My journey as a conductor began when I was around 12 or 13 years old. During middle school, there was a choir competition, and I was asked to conduct, so I did. It was my first experience leading an ensemble. Later, I went on to conduct church choirs and public school orchestra. Last year, I was honored to be named conductor in residence in Estonia, where I now conduct each summer. Like all the instruments I've studied, conducting came into my life naturally. It wasn't something I planned, but rather something I was called to by the musicians around me. What I enjoy most is the creative freedom, interpreting the full score, imagining what the composer intended, and bringing that vision to life with the orchestra. Every time I step onto the podium, I feel incredibly inspired by the collaboration that creates truly unforgettable performances.
Is it hard to conduct your music? How does it work?
I would say it is easy. If I'm the composer, I know why I wrote each note, harmony, and melody. I know why I scored things a certain way. I already know why I gave parts to each instrument. So from that point of view, there is a clear vision for what the composer wants to reflect and what the conductor will focus on and do. There is no need of communication between composer and conductor, as I'm both.
Tell us about your experience as one soloist, performing two different instruments in two separate works on the same day. I mean, that must be a record.
While I'm aware that performing as a soloist on two different instruments, particularly harp and piano, on the same stage and in the same concert may be a rare achievement, I don't focus on records. It's more meaningful to me that I was able to bring such a unique musical experience to life. The harp has a spiritual, resonant quality, while the piano blends powerfully and majestically with the orchestra. Each has its own soul. To perform both in one day, one stage, felt deeply fulfilling. If I were to leave this world tomorrow, I would feel content knowing I had the chance to share something so personally significant.
To remind our listeners, give us some background on your career and how you started on the piano as well as the harp.
I started to learn the piano at the age of 6. Then at around 9 years old, I was playing cello, then violin as well. Later, at the age of 18, I started to learn the harp. I love all musical instruments and appreciate each one's own beauty and charm.
How has your upbringing affected your musical work?
My parents are music lovers, so I remember in our house there was always music playing. My mother used to say that when she was pregnant with me, all day long she would listen to music. So I think music was introduced to me prior my first arrival to this world.
You have many different versions of Rendezvous. How is the version for harp and orchestra different?
The orchestra version was created first, and I blended it with the harp part. The Rendezvous with the harp and orchestra version is particularly close to my heart because, as a harpist, it reflects my own relationship with the instrument. I wrote the piece in just 2 days last Christmas. Usually, the harp gets covered by the orchestra in a lot of pieces, but here I added 2 cadenzas to let the harp shine on its own while the orchestra subtly colors the music around it. I originally thought about making it 3 movements, concerto, but I really like the idea of just one. It captures a special, nostalgic mood. And this piece is dedicated to my husband. Parts of it, like the second cadenza, actually reflects moments we've shared, such as watching fireworks together.
What led you to create these many different versions of your signature work, Rendezvous?
I wanted to experiment with different instruments to see how the piece could take on different colors and emotions. Rendezvous is all about connection, whether it's between life and death or between people. Through each version, I aim to explore the meaning of existence from different perspectives. I'm naturally someone who likes happy endings, so that's why the piece starts in A minor but ends in A major. For me, it's a reminder that no matter the struggles we face, there's always a way toward a positive conclusion. Each version lets me explore that theme in new ways, depending on the instrument.
Rendezvous also has words. Can you tell us what that song and Rendezvous in general is all about?
The lyrical version of Rendezvous delves into the complexities of love and identity. It tells the story of a man and woman who fall in love, believing they are past lovers reunited. The woman conceals her true identity and pretends to be the man's previous lover. As the relationship deepens, both realize that they are not actually past lovers, but rather reflections of their former partners. Despite attempting to separate, they ultimately embrace their connection, understanding that their love is rooted in the search for something familiar.
It exists in English, but the song has versions in 80 different languages. Do you speak all those languages? I mean, how did that work? Are the poems the same, just in translation, as it were?
After the piano version was completed, I wanted to put lyrics to the music. I only speak Korean and English and understand little of some other languages as I have looked into different languages for fun. While I originally wrote the lyrics in Korean, I started studying other languages thinking it would be nice to put lyrics to this song in many different beautiful languages. The lyrics remain the same. I just had to choose words I wanted to use. Let's say, for feelings of happiness, we can use words such as joyful, delighted, cheerful, satisfied, excited, amused, etc. You're a great singer, so you know that each word should line up with an exact note in the most natural way. It should be able to open up some tone depending on words. So I chose words after studying the languages and working with some native speakers from each country. Most of them were not musicians, so mainly I had to decide how the song flows depending on words. I recorded 80 versions, doing my best to pronounce the words with the hope that one day native singers from all these countries could sing this song to give hope and warm feelings to other people's hearts.
When and why did you write the first version of Rendezvous?
I wrote the first version of Rendezvous one night in 2013 when I was feeling sentimental. It seemed as though the music was flowing through my mind, so I sat down at the piano and started playing, letting the melody come out without making any changes or edits. The whole thing just flowed naturally, and the piano version came together in one go. I decided to write it in 3-4 times because I thought it would let the piece express both sadness with a slow, steady rhythm and the light, happy feel of a waltz.
Had you already been a composer?
I believe we are all composers in our hearts, like we are all chefs. The only difference is whether we are top chefs providing taste food to our family or loved ones or not. I try to draw on my own feelings and tones to be delivered a certain way that the listener will feel calm, feel loved, and feel we are all connected, that we are never alone.
What would you say to someone who is listening to the version of Rendezvous for orchestra and harp for the first time? How would you introduce it?
I would ask them, do you have someone you love? And then I would tell them to listen closely to the music. I really wanted to capture the feeling of true love through the sounds of the harp and orchestra. Life and death often feels like distance concepts, but they're really so close, constantly in our lives. In this piece, I wanted to show that death is not the end, it's just part of a bigger journey. Life is a celebration, and death just leads us into something eternal. Through the music, I hope people can feel that connection.
You're also known as an educator. What do you think is the most important thing your students should know about music?
Music is not taking, but giving. You should give and never think of taking. You do music not only because you love it, but you know that through your music, many people can be cheered up or can feel healed from their pain. I would want them to know that music is your way to help people in the world and to not just keep it for themselves. So I would recommend everyone to share their music because where there is music, there is often peace and love.
Perhaps you could apply that question also to the general public. I mean, what should people know about your music?
My music is my meaning of existence. I feel God blessed me with music to share love with people, so I am deeply grateful to God. You know, musicians speak through their music. So after I share my music, audiences approach and share their love. It touches them, so it feels they met me, they know me, and they saw my soul. It feels special that people meet me without a single word, but only through my music.
Dr. Charon Kim, thank you for your music, and it was great hearing from you once again.
Thank you so much for having me today. It is always so good to be back on your station.